You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Public schools have been the center of heated public debate in recent years. There's been a backlash against school COVID policies, arguments in the political world and in school board meetings about how schools handle issues of race and gender, and concerns about post-COVID declines in some nationwide testing scores. It can be easy to feel pessimistic about education, but our next guest sees something else, opportunity. They say it's a good time for school leaders and other stakeholders to embrace fundamental changes, connect with their communities, and turn to local democracy to solve these problems. And in their new book, they have lots of examples to share. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a parent or community member, have you had an opportunity to work with your school district? Was there a good line of communication? If you work in schools, are you looking for ways to connect with your local community? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Landon Mascareñas and Donnie Tran are longtime educators, founders of the Open System Institute, and their new book is called The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. Donnie, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having us.
And Landon, thanks for being with us.
Wonderful to hear you and be with you.
Landon, start us off with a big picture. What do the two of you mean by an open system as it applies to schools?
Well, first off, thanks for having us. And fundamentally, the big idea is that for too long in our nation's education systems, and actually in public systems generally, they have been closed off from the communities they serve, which means they have not been designed by the communities that surround them, whether that's because they were built in the past or because the population or community has shifted over time. We need to build more adaptive, interactive, and public systems, including our education system, that take in the information, work with stakeholders, family, parents, community members, business, to reimagine what's possible, and through that become open to co-creation and co-design with their community.
Donnie, the two of you have worked with districts around the country, particularly Colorado, but elsewhere as well. How does this start? If a school leader is hearing this and saying, okay, this sounds good, sure, of course I want to engage with my community, where do they start?
Well, we think about trying to identify what we call an open moment, an opportunity to do the kinds of co-creation that Landon was just talking about with the community. And so the first step is really trying to identify what is that thing that both the leaders within the system and, you know, organizations like the board and the public, where can we agree that co-creation can be used to the highest and best effect? And so the thing that we recommend first is find that and then really assemble an unusually diverse and inclusive group of community members and frontline educators and young people to really train their attention and energy to that problem.
Landon, I can imagine somebody on a school board or say an administrator saying, well, hey, I try to have a public meeting on blank, or we invite people to the school board meetings, but nobody shows up unless there's something really controversial. Then everybody shows up and yells at us. What's the starting point for having bringing people on board, as Donnie was just saying, and having productive, collaborative meetings?
Well, you know, you brought this up earlier in the introduction, but, you know, our public education system, like so much else in our democracy, is really undergoing a stress test to see if it can actually respond to the increased demands of the communities and parents and families they're a part of. But we really believe it's muscle building. It's about finding that moment and then actually building up on top of it, whether that's in a rural community in Colorado, thinking about how to build an economic development strategy, or in Kentucky to think about the way learning and assessment gets reimagined, or school discipline questions. These are political decisions that create opportunities for consensus building and working together. We have to admit that the way that too often this happens in both our public setting, but in education, are broken. The way we do task forces and committees aren't effective. And a big part of the book is building a shared discipline and recommendations on how to do that effectively so that progress can occur.
Donnie, how can a school reach out to a community that hasn't been at the table as much, whether that's maybe a new immigrant community or a religious minority that feels excluded? How do you start to build those bridges?
Yeah, well, what we have found is that really intentional outreach with a very clear ask and a defined timeline helps people see their own role in the work and to understand that it's not an open-ended commitment that's going to last forever. They understand the thing they're going to do in service of the system. So I'd say that first of all. And then really making thoughtful and culturally appropriate outreach, both through translated materials, is a critically important thing to do. And then also there are always folks in the community who are trusted brokers and trusted intermediaries between the system and different communities. And so conceptualizing, we are all in this together, and really identifying those folks who can build those bridges and making sure that they understand the task at hand and understand that you are coming into this with a true co-creation ethos in place really can help engender the kind of trust that allows these relationships to be built.
Talking to Donnie Tran and Landon Mascarenhas, we're talking about their new book, The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about what you're hearing? Is your experience with the school district, whether you're a parent, a student, or you work with the schools, does it sound like what they're talking about? Or does it sound like there's a barrier between the people running the schools and the rest of the community? Have you found ways to bridge that? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm hoping each of you can give us one example of this kind of work in action. You've mentioned doing work in rural and urban communities. Landon, let's start with you. Give us a little bit of a case study that illustrates some of the points you've been making.
Well, one of the book is organized into a set of six principles that are each organized, again, around a case study or a vignette. And the first chapter is about open leadership, which is the idea that leaders in our education system have to act as democratic leaders. I mean, too often in our education management text, our training, we teach education leaders and a lot of public system leaders to be top-down folks that say, this is my way, and I have to rally people to this vision I have. And instead, we bring a lot of other types of ideas into that. And the case study that we showcase is a project I got to work on with a lot of really incredible people around Colorado called the Homegrown Talent Initiative, which had eight communities that said, we want to think differently about bringing business, community partners, students, and parents and families and higher ed to the table to imagine a vision for rural economic development in our community. And through that, built internships and projects and new relationships with business that actually in many of these rural communities had atrophied and they had felt very isolated from each other. And in many of these places, there was a new spirit of kind of democratic connection and possibility. And we believe that's a critical aspect to what makes this work happen.
And Donnie, another case study in the book is in Denver as an example of what an urban environment might do with an open system. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. A really powerful story there. I see it from the perspective of the school leader that we got to know, who said to us, like, this is not really my school and this is not my vision. This is the community's school and the community's vision. It's just my job to execute on that. And so he built, it was part of an initiative called the Year Zero Turnaround Project, where instead of, you know, the traditional turnaround models that are used, he spent an entire year really engaging with the community, building trust, building shared vision, and then executing on it. And what he found was that he actually unlocked a lot of capacity and energy from engaging the community in this way. I mean, sometimes we joke that surveys and focus groups are sort of unequal to the task of deep buy-in creation and the kind of buy-in that co-creation can really engender. And so what we saw in Drew's case study in Valverde Elementary was that really co-creating with this community brought families and their energy and their expertise with their young people into the school space.
We're talking to Donnie Tran and Landon Mascarenhas about their new book. It's called The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. They say schools can find success by reaching out to their local communities, bringing the public on board as much as possible. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you see opportunities for your local school district to connect with the community, do some of the things our guests are talking about? Is there an issue in your local school that you think has been handled well or poorly? Do you feel like there's good communication between the community and the school district, or bad communication? Do you have a question for our guests about how all of this could work? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up next on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Landon Mascareñas and Donnie Tran about their new book. It's called The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. They're making the case that school leaders should reach out to their local communities and harness the power of local democracy to create a better education system. Still time for you to join in if you have experience trying to solve a problem with a school, whether that's as a parent or community member or a teacher or administrator. Love to hear how things worked and didn't work in that situation and your questions for our guests at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Landon, one key idea I think underlying a lot of this is the solution for school A that a community comes up with might be very different from the solutions that community B comes up with, and that's okay.
That's totally right, Rob. You know, actually, a big part of the challenge that we've seen in a variety of education initiatives that have come across this country and around the world have really struggled with this idea of we have to replicate and scale and replicate and scale and this compulsion for copy paste. The reality is that the solutions have to be tailored in a hyper local way. That homegrown talent initiative I talked about earlier, 8 communities all over rural Colorado. Each community came up with their own vision of what a graduate should actually achieve. Different words, different visions, different possibilities, different types of the way they wanted to make it manifest. And those hyper-local solutions have to be co-created at the local level, not only to create legitimacy and buy-in, but to actually tailor them to the unique features of that community.
Donnie, I could see somebody at a school district saying, yeah, that sounds great, but the state is going to test all my kids X number of times a year. We have to meet their standards, and there might be federal standards we have to meet. And if the solution our community comes up with, you know, works on some standards but doesn't help, you know, with those test scores, well, we kind of lose in some ways. Is that a problem?
Yeah, I think we need to embrace some both and thinking on this, that what we are talking about is really unlocking the capacity of parents to be partners in school and to be partners in their young people's success. And there's going to always be times when the things that they want are going to be a little bit orthogonal or a little tangential to what the ways in which schools are assessed. But oftentimes parents and schools like deeply want the same thing. When they get on the same page about it, it's a powerful lever for really improving the kinds of outcomes that we want for all of our children. And those, and also at the same time they're doing that, they can dive more deeply into the things that make their communities unique and use those as lenses to really engage with all academic content. So we see it as a both and.
Landon, one concern that nags at me is, you know, parents have kids, they often have jobs, their schedules are busy. How could people try to convene these kind of open system schools make sure they include people who don't have a lot of time necessarily to participate?
It's a really good question. I mean, fundamentally, this is a big dilemma in the family engagement community partnership space, is how do you create conditions for spaces to be created where there's equitable access for all individuals? When I was at Denver Public Schools helping to run the family engagement office, this was a major concern of us. You know, we had to provide translation and schedule things at appropriate times. You know, I never would have said it before the pandemic, but I've come to believe that virtual meetings are a major part of the solution. They create enormous amounts more access, especially across geographical areas. You can call different types of conversations into existence. Parents don't have to find childcare for their kids. They can Zoom in. It also reduces some of the affinity barriers that we see show up when we create spaces like this, where everyone who knows together hangs out together and has the pre-meeting and the side meeting. And so I think that there are some really interesting solutions that the pandemic has offered to us in these moments. And one of the things that we talk a lot about in the book, Rob, is that we have to disrupt the traditional way that we think about building these spaces. It can't just be one place on a website to have an application to get on, and only the people that have time and energy to get on make it. The school districts have to think about random selection, inviting new people into the process, bringing social capital leaders in the community through direct invitation. That's a part of the design as well, is that we have to think bigger and broadly about the way we practice inclusive democracy.
Donnie, I want to get something back to something Landon mentioned earlier about kind of changing the idea of what it means to be a leader at schools in the first place, from the idea of I have this vision that I'm going to implement and I'm going to try to get buy-in for it, hopefully, but I'm going to do things my way, to becoming a leader in the sense of let's find out what people want to be led to in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely. That was very well said. That what we see is many people who are in education shy away and say things like, oh, I don't like the politics. I don't like doing politics. And I think that really is a narrow view of what we even mean by that word and what we mean by the act of public leadership. And we really do think that principals and superintendents and state commissioners are all public leaders. And we think of this act of leadership within an open frame is, how do I deeply understand and empathize what we collectively want and need to feel whole and successful? And then how do we bring our collective energy to bear to make that a reality? And it doesn't mean that a leader comes in with no opinion and does whatever the community wants. It means that they create a space for deliberation, dialogue, and different kinds of expertise to come together and truly form something that is shared between all of its participants.
Talking to Donnie Tran and Landon Mascarenhas about their new book, The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. Landon, obviously the target audience, I think, for your book is for people who are in those school leadership positions or work in schools. But how about if there's somebody out there listening, maybe a parent or concerned member of their community saying, this sounds great, I would love to see more of this in my district. What can everyday people do to try to work with their schools to at least experiment with these open system concepts?
You know, Rob, when we were writing the book, we were really intentional to say that there's two audiences for the book. There is the education leaders that we're talking about right now, the principals, the superintendents, the commissioners, the teachers. But we really intentionally also design it for folks outside of the system, the community organizer, the parent, the activist. And we really said that part of the dilemma is that these two groups of people, in fact, across all of those different stakeholder groups, don't have a shared language. And that a big part of our idea was to create a shared discipline so that when they are working together, when their values are actually aligned and they're trying to do this work and they want to get started, they can start having big moves together or small moves together that they can use together, use a similar language. And it's a part of the reason we use the term open. It's not a complicated word in the discourse. You know, when we would line up a bunch of educators or parents and say, what does family engagement mean to you? You get a, you know, 100 different answers. When we talk about openness, it conjures up something deep inside of us. We understand that at a more fundamental level. And I think when we've worked with parents and educators in conversations like this, they can start to identify simple, clear moves, whether it's the way that home visits can occur, the way an after-school program can be available, the way that a diploma can be more accessible and online, that both parties can come to the same space around.
And one big point there, Donnie, that Landon reminds me of is you're not making the case that an administrator should completely overhaul their school district between now and opening day at the end of summer. People could start small. What can you give some more examples of the kind of small projects that people could work to implement these open system ideas on?
Yeah, absolutely. We never try to fool people into thinking that open system work is easy. First of all, it is powerful and deeply fulfilling, but it is a challenge to be the container and the heart and one who harnesses and cultivates all of this energy. And so we do recommend that people look very carefully at the system that they're in and ask themselves, like, what is the thing that is the right bite size at this moment? And given my capacity and the energy and trust within my community. And so it can be anything from you know, as Landon mentioned before, are school discipline policies, or as something as ambitious as grading policy. Okay, that's not a beginner move. I just want to be clear about that. But it could be also something small in terms of, well, how might I co-create, you know, a family night, or a, you know, the process for, you know, doing something operational at the school so that it feels like there you can build a little bit of muscle around how to engage your community in a deep way.
Landon, in just a half minute, the last half minute or so, you've been making the case for the open system for a while. Are people buying what you're selling? Are these ideas catching on?
You know, one of the reasons we're really excited about this book coming out, Rob, is that we have stories from all over the country, Georgia, Kentucky, Chicago, Colorado, New Mexico. There is a hunger in our country right now, we believe, coming out of COVID because of the democratic stress test we're under. There is a hunger and a desire for more involvement in our schools. And the answer can't just be, it's too much. We have to say, if public education is the forge of our democracy, we have to open up to let people in. And have been inspired by people from around the country taking on that charge, because they believe deeply in the future of what education is possible when we all work together.
Thanks to both of our guests today. We've been talking to Landon Mascareñas and Donnie Tran. Their new book is called The Open System, Redesigning Education and Reigniting Democracy. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, airline passengers would get more compensation when flights are canceled under a proposed federal rule. Find out what's in the works and get a look at the state of air travel. And it's this week's edition of Food Friday. A Wisconsin cook helps us make the most of the farmer's market and local produce section during the summer. And you can join in and share some of your favorite sightings at that local market. That more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time. Coming up after the news, we'll get an update on chronic wasting disease in Wisconsin's deer herd, how it's been managed by hunters in the DNR, as well as a study that shows a new possibility for how the disease might spread. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network.